Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and t-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to Down to Agribusiness with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello and welcome to Down to Agribusiness. This week I'm joined by my colleague Alan Finnegan. We're going to have a quick recap and review of the issues that were making the news around Irish agribusiness over the past week and what's going to impact on the sector in the weeks and indeed months ahead going into next year. And you were looking at the whole finance side and the implications of the cost increases that are coming down the tracks there. We're hearing the higher cost of energy, higher cost of fertilizer, etc., going into 2022. What did you find out?
Yeah, so, well, look, I suppose the first thing to say is we've talked a lot over the past couple of weeks in the paper about fertiliser prices and where they're at, and indeed about fertiliser supply and where it's going to land, you know, what price farmers are going to be facing come next spring, and indeed what price they're going to be buying for next spring at now and what availability is going to be like. So we've had a chat with some of the main banks in terms of just the whole supply chain impact, because I suppose first and foremost, at farm level, farmers are coming off the back of a really strong year, strong profitability across most sectors, and the expectation would be that there'd be some level of a buffer there at farm level. And I think the banks have confirmed that that's the case. You know, we've asked them about overdraft utilization, and that's really the proportion of overdraft balances that are being used at any particular time, which appear to be at lows of 4 and 5 years. And I think that's something that we can all understand given the year that's been there. So it suggests that there's a good buffer there at farm level currently. And farmers are in a good position in the sense that they're not, you know, we'd be in a very different position if farmers were coming into this year, you know, terribly stretched and on the back of a bad year with overdrafts maxed out or at high levels. Whereas that buffer is there, they've already got some capacity. And indeed, interesting, some of the banks talking about higher deposits, and we're seeing that, reports of that right across society and across SMEs, and that's following through in banking. But I suppose if you step back from the farm, I mean, the first issue really is for the fertiliser imports to go out to the market and purchase fertiliser. And Owen Lowry from Bank of Ireland made a good point that, you know, the facilities that they would typically have in place would buy a lot less fertiliser this year for supply in the Irish market, given high fertiliser prices. So I suppose what we really saw was the bank signalling that, yes, they're talking to those importers and to merchants, and working with them in terms of their financial requirements this year, which are above what they ordinarily would be. And for some of the other banks, while those conversations, they'd say, haven't really started with some of their customers, there's an openness and a willingness to go there. I suppose, you know, coming into this, some farmers have expressed concerns, particularly in relation to Ulster Bank, because they are in transition and they're in the middle of a phased withdrawal from the Irish market. We did ask them about that and how they'll support their customers through the next season. And they confirmed that they're continuing to exist with to work with their existing customers on additional working capital requirements or capital expenditure or capital investment. So I think that's a really important point to get out there, that if you are, because I think at times like this, there would be realistically a level of concern where there's any change in the banking system like that. So
can I just pick you up on that, Anne?
Yeah.
Ulster Bank are leaving the Irish marketplace in 2022, isn't that correct?
That's their plan, yeah. So it's a phased withdrawal, and they're in discussions at the moment. They've moved to memorandum of understanding with AIB and in discussions with permanent TSB for a portion of the book.
Well, so it won't be a case that farmers will wake up some Monday morning and discover Ulster Bank have gone and they have no overdraft facility or whatever. That won't happen.
No. These things typically take a protracted period to filter out, and the bank will and would be required anyway to communicate at each stage with their customers as to what's happening. And there's nothing stopping any farmer who has concerns in the first instance going and talking to their Ulster Bank relationship manager. I think that would be their first port of call. And if they're not satisfied, there's nothing stopping those customers going out into the marketplace off their own bat, particularly in relation to their business current account or their working capital requirements, and initiating discussions with other institutions if they're uncomfortable or if they have any level of concern based on the discussions with Ulster Bank. But what we have seen in the past is, you know, from other institutions who've followed this type of course, is an ongoing type of communication.
Okay, so it will be planned, it will be orderly. And just to sum up then, Anne, I get the impression there then that the bigger issue in terms of we think of it fertilizer costs in particular, the biggest bottleneck is more likely to be at the merchant importer level than it is at the farm gate level, given that the strength, if you like, of farmer bank accounts over the basis of a decent 2021.
Yeah, I think the pinch, I mean, I think, you know, the pinch will come at farm level. There's a certain amount of capacity there. And I think one thing that, you know, the advice from all the banks has been to act early and do some figures now in terms of what additional working capital will look like in 2022. And I suppose, look, what really needs to happen now, and we're starting to hear quotes, fertilizer quotes from merchants this week, farmers getting fertilizer quotes from merchants this week. Ultimately, the market needs to start. Farmers need to get quotes. They need to start going out into the market and buying fertilizer, and that crystallizes the market for both the merchants, the importers, and the farmers. And farmers will start to be able to crystallize what their working capital problems will be. The chain will start to form. Importers will have the capacity and the confidence to go back out to the market and make the additional purchases that are needed for the coming spring. So really, we're just seeing that market forming now. And I think this will all start to crystallise over the coming weeks and months.
The Irish Farmers Journal has now reached our highest ever readership with 321,000 weekly print readers. Thank you for your support.
On your own side, Phelan, this week we're back to the Amazon to some degree, and deforestation, and looking at the new proposed legislation by the EU in respect of not dealing with countries that are deforesting for a number of products, I think.
Yeah, I think this is something that Irish farmers and indeed European farmers, EU farmers, would have been crying out for. And on the face of it, it seems a very reasonable policy. If the European Union is determined that EU farmers produce to a certain standard, that we develop the organic sector, that we do all of the things that they have identified in Farm to Fork that are essential, then it doesn't make sense that the loss of production that will inevitably cause should be, if you like, offshored, sent to somewhere else. And the big supplier of, particularly on the meat side, is South America on that front. Now, you get into the whole debate then, of course, and again, if we had a Brazilian contributor to this podcast as well, they'd be making the point, well, look, anything that's happening in the Amazon today is something that happened in Europe 400 or 500 years ago, you know, that the forestation was cleared there, that it's a different stage of economic development. But notwithstanding all of that, you know, we've been through COP26 in Glasgow, and everyone is saying, look, whatever, however we got here, this is where we are and what we need to achieve. And the reality is Brazil have made commitments in terms of cessation of deforestation. And if you look at the performance there, you know, if you go back to 2012, they had got down to a relatively low level. 2020, the area cleared there of over 13,000 square kilometers is more than three times what was cleared in 2012. But when you take the whole package again, just to put this in some sort of context, the size of area that we're talking about, going back and from 2011 to 2021, Brazil has cleared an area of forest that's actually bigger than the island of Ireland, just to give some sort of a size context to that. And the European Union are proposing, right, we are not going to import from parts of the world that have deforestation, that the products come from deforested land. And of course, big part of when you refer to the Amazon, we talk about the Amazon, that's very much cleared for production, for maybe of cattle, livestock in the first instance, but moving in then to the wider cereal crop space. Now, again, as I say, looking at this through the farmer lens, good idea, good policy. But the difficulty is European Union making this policy that interferes with not global trade has to take into account, well, what will the World Trade Organization, WTO, think of this? They are, if you like, the body that arbitrates on international trade disputes. And the European Union have been down this road before, and this was in the case of banning the use of hormones in beef production back in the late 1980s. And it's fine to do that within the European Union, but of course that disadvantages European farmers. They don't have the same technology, if you like, at the disposal that their US counterparts or anyone else outside Europe have. And Europe, parallel to introducing that ban, banned imported beef that was produced using hormones. That was taken by the US to WTO, and that there, the WTO ruled in favor of the US. What Europe were doing were anti-competitive. And the fear now is that this policy that the European Union are putting forward on forestry has a lot of similar characteristics, shall we say, to what the policy on beef hormones was back in the 1980s. And that's something to be mindful of. And again, it would be very embarrassing for the European Union if they put a very high-minded policy, shall we say, in place, only to have that overruled at the World Trade Organization. So that's what we're exploring a little bit about this week. And as always with these things, what might seem very simple at first reading and on the surface, when you drill a wee bit into it, then you see the complexities of it and looked at in the international trade context as opposed to just the European Union farm-to-fork context, then it's a very different issue and a very different size. So that's something that we've been teasing out this week.
It does beg the question, though, Phelan, you know, if the WTO isn't going to step in and I suppose help the world navigate the environmental challenges and, let's say, the new realities that exist. And it has been somewhat dysfunctional of recent years. You know, if that role isn't carried out by the WTO, and if this can't get through, you know, what hope is there that we can actually make reality of the type of pledges that are made, that were made in Paris and the implementation of which was discussed in Scotland?
Yeah, we get into an area of discussion now, Anne, that you could do a thesis on if you were a student of international politics. The reality is WTO, and you know, given the approach that the Trump presidency in particular had to it of not appointing appeal judges, you know, it is an organization that is somewhat limited. It relies, if you like, on the goodwill of the members. They are the international referee. And once the authority of the referee becomes challenged, as it has been so regularly, well, then the whole structure risks falling into disrepute. And the whole issue, the whole climate change debate, and again, COP26 in Glasgow, it was really, it would have achieved, if you like, the very bare minimum, I would have thought, of the aspirations that might have been there by at least some people that were looking for the higher standards in terms of reductions to be achieved. But the reality is all countries, maybe with the exception of Ireland, went into COP26 looking to defend their national interest. In the case of Australia, that was mining. In the case of Middle Eastern countries, that was fossil fuels, that was oil, etc. In the case of the South Americans and New Zealand, that was agri interests that were being defended. So countries take that approach. WTO is an organization that's there to be the international arbiter. But the difficulty is that only works if countries are prepared to be arbitrated on. And we have seen so many examples of that in the past, certainly in the more recent years, of how that just hasn't been possible. And that's why, in terms of formulating global policy and anything, that the whole area is so difficult. But anyway, that's an area that we could produce a thesis on. I think for the purpose of this podcast, we'll wrap it up there and say maybe we'll revisit this at a future time. Thanks very much for joining the podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.